Have you ever felt frustrated because you just couldn't find a lovely book to read? I can start to crave not just a good book, but a book that draws me in and evokes such a deep emotion that I can say, wow, that was a lovely book. Welcome, friends. This is Emmy B on Lovely Books Podcast, where it's my job to highlight the lovely books that keep you reading and connect you to the world. If you're new to Lovely Books, this podcast is more than just a best books podcast. It's about the reader's experience and takeaway. No book reviews, no analysis of literary content, just thoughts and personal anecdotes brought to our minds by the characters and subject matter that we love. That's what brings the book to life for you. I hope we give you something to think about, something to laugh about, and something lovely to read. Some of my most favorite books that I read in 2020 were recommendations from Bookstagrammers and from podcasts that I had on my show recommending their favorite books, books that meant something to them, changed their perspective, helped them see the world in a different way, opened up their view, or that they really just enjoyed. And this book was absolutely no exception to that. But one of my favorite things about all of these discussions that I'm able to have with my podcasts is that I really get a chance to see how the context of where we are in our lives influences the message that we receive from what we're reading. Depending on age, background, job, life setting, where you grew up, what you like to do, it changes what your perception is and what your lesson is that you learn from the book. This book especially did that for me. The Brilliant Life of Eudora Honeysett is brilliantly written. It is uplifting, it's funny, it's charming, it's honest, and it deals with something that we don't always like to talk about, and that is the idea of facing death and what it means to face death in older age and different experiences that people have with death throughout their lives. It discusses the idea of what makes a life worth living, what makes a life worth continuing. As I was able to discuss this book, various themes that didn't really stand out to me were really brought out, and I was able to really grasp the idea, really hold on to the importance of friendship and love and having fun and adventure, being able to forgive and also having a chance at redemption in your life. This is definitely a book that I don't think received the attention that it deserved. So I hope you enjoyed today's interview and have a chance to check out this lovely book. In this episode, Bookstagrammer, Ashley Curran will highlight the book, The Brilliant Life of Eudora Honeysett by Annie Lyons. Ashley, thank you so much for joining me today. Listeners might know Ashley from her Instagram page at Smashley Reads, and I'm sure there's a story there somewhere. But I've been following Ashley since I joined the Bookstagram community in May of 2020 during quarantine. And her posts are always bright and fun and insightful. But before we dive into this book, Ashley, do you want to tell us a little more about yourself?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. I've never done anything like this.
Yay.
So I'm super excited. So thank you so much. A little bit about me. I am a kindergarten teacher. I live in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. I'm married to my high school sweetheart. We've been together over half of our lives, which is kind of fun. And other than reading, I like to bake, cook, hang out with friends when it's safe. And I also like to golf, and I golf in a golf league, so that's kind of a fun fact.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds super fun. I love this book. I love a good British author. I'm a huge fan of Frederick Bachman and his style of, you know, I love those Swedish and just European writers. I think they have such a great sense of humor. The Brilliant Life of Eudora Honeysett is Annie Lyons' sixth work of contemporary fiction. And I didn't know that I'm not familiar with any of her other books. So this one was published in September of 2020. And as I said, before you recommended it, I'd never even heard it. I didn't see it. So how did you come across it?
I actually saw a few Bookstagrammers posting about it when they had arcs of the book.
Okay.
Ooh, this sounds really good. And some people recommended it to people who loved Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine. And I was like, I love that book. So this book must be for me.
Cool. Well, I actually read Eleanor Oliphant this year, so that's funny. And when I was reading reviews of this, they compared it to that. So that's fun. Before we start talking about it, do you kind of want to give us a brief summary?
Yeah. So this is all about a woman named Eudora Honeysett, who is an 85-year-old woman living in London, I believe, and she has had it with life. She recently got injured and had to be hauled off in an ambulance, and her neighbor helped her, had to help her and found her on the sidewalk. And she's pretty much had it with her life, and she wants to take her destiny into her own hands, and she wants to die on her own terms. So she's thinking of traveling to Sweden for a death plan, basically, so she doesn't end up, you know, really, really old and need to be taken care of and need constant care. And then she meets a neighbor, a little girl named Rose, who is the most fabulous character I've come across in a long time. And Rose kind of changes her life. And it's just such a great book. And it wasn't what I was expecting. It pulled on my heartstrings. And I just think everybody should read it.
It's so fun. You know, as I was reading it, I feel like sometimes at the beginning of a book you have in your head kind of like, I think I know this, where this is going, and I think I know how I feel about these characters. But I really felt like the character development for Eudora was, it was slow. Like, we got information about her and who she was and why she was the way she was slowly. I loved that in this book, instead of getting like everything about her up front.
Yeah, I agree. And I really, there is a dual timeline in the story, and it's about Eudora when she's growing up.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just such a clever addition to add to her character development. And it gives the reader an insight to who she is and why she is the way she is. And I just thought that was so fabulous. And I loved reading about her family and her heartbreak, and it was just wonderful.
Yeah, because she's making all these decisions as an 85-year-old woman, but And you think you know why, but I felt like part of the fun of reading it was like every couple of chapters, it's like, I think I know why she did that. And then I'd read a little bit more and go, oh, no, she didn't do that because of that. There was like a whole other thing happening.
Right. Just like I'm peeling layers of why she's doing the things she's doing.
Yeah. Which I love that. I thought that was so cool. So one of the major themes in this book is physician-assisted suicide. It's kind of a touchy subject for people.
Yeah.
Did this book affect your thoughts or your feelings on that at all?
I mean, I guess a little bit. I guess everybody kind of fears, you know, dying alone and old. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's something I worry about, you know. Even my husband's grandma died in last year, and she had 5 kids and a bunch of grandkids, and she still died alone in a hospital.
Yeah.
So no matter what kind of, whatever your family situation is, it's still, you know, is possible. So
right.
It's, you know, it's something that nobody ever wants to think about or talk about, but it's, you know, a lot of reality. You know?
Well, unlike other books that have similar themes like this, because I've read books before where the protagonist in the book has like a lifetime of disability, mm-hmm. or like a lifetime of pain. But the interesting thing was, is that like her reasoning, I feel like was so much, her pain was so much more like emotional. Mm-hmm. Like on the inside, that as we like learned about all the different reasons, like all the guilt and all the pain she was carrying.
Yeah.
It gave me a different perspective on that. Did you see that?
Yeah. And at first I was kind of just like, you just don't want to be a burden. So you just want to die now. Like, okay.
Uh-huh.
But then like, you know, as we unpeel those layers of, you know, her character, we find out a little bit more why. And, you know, it is such a touchy subject. And I guess That's why it's like not legal here. So
I don't know if it's legal either, but the thing that I did look up that I was interested to find, we do have in the United States newly, is death doulas. Had you ever heard of a death doula before this book?
No.
That was like a wild concept to me. Like you have a birthing doula who like helps you bring life into this world, but then you can have a death doula.
Yeah, it sounds like a morbid job.
Right? Who like helps you peacefully transition to the other side. So I actually got online and researched that, and it's like becoming a thing. Like as of 2018 in the United States, there's like, you can get online and find yourself a death doula.
Wow.
So that's kind of an interesting concept that I hadn't really explored it all, along with the idea of not wanting to talk about death. Do you have, I mean, you interact with young kids. Do you ever come across kids who want to talk about death?
You know, not really. I mean, once in a while we'll have a student who had a family member that passed away, and
this book wants to kind of rid itself of the stigma of we don't talk about death.
Yeah.
Does your family talk about death?
Yeah. My mom died when I was 11.
Okay. So,
and I had a cousin pass away when I was 8. And my cousin was in her early 20s, I want to say, she died in a car accident. So I feel like death has affected my family. So we've kind of just like talked about it because I don't want to say it was a big part of my life, but losing when you're a kid is a big part of your life. So
yeah.
So yeah, I guess we did.
Do you think death is a taboo topic?
No, I think it's like a healthy thing to talk about, especially because it's something like it's going to happen to everyone. So
yeah.
Yeah. So I love all the opportunities that Eudora has in this story for different types of redemption. I mean, a lot of that comes from this unlikely friendship that she ends up making with Rose and the other friendships that she makes along the way.
So many funny things happen with Rose and Rose's mother. So the reason that she ends up hanging out with this little girl is because the mom is like so pregnant and needs so much help. And then the father's away on work, doing work. And there's so many things where Rose convinces Eudora to, you know, take her swimming or take her shopping or do these little things with her and go on adventures that really are redeeming factors to her character. My favorite character in this book was actually Rose, the little girl, because when I was a little girl, my mom was like busy with my little brothers because I'm the oldest, and I would always go to my next door neighbor's house. Her name was Mrs. Wright, and she was a retired teacher, but her children were grown.
Okay.
And I don't think that she didn't have grandchildren at this point when I was little. Like I was probably like 7 or 8, and she was always outside gardening, and I was always bothering her. And I would be like talking to her, and then I like thought that she like loved it, but looking back at it now, I know that I was so annoying because she'd be like, oh, I'll be right back. And then she'd never come back. Or she'd be like, oh, the phone's ringing. And then like, she would never come back. And I was like, oh my God, I was probably so annoying. Just wanted to like garden and then, you know, just be like everything peaceful. But then, you know, little Ashley comes from across the way. And, I would never shut up.
Oh, that is so funny.
How annoying that is as a teacher. Like, it's so overwhelming. It's like, they just don't stop. Like they don't even take a breath. And I was exactly like that.
Oh, that's so funny.
It reminds me of Rose. And I was like, I'm Rose.
I love it. I love it. See, the only thing is you should have gone through her mail slot and been like, are you off the phone yet?
No, my mom would have killed me though.
Oh, that's so fun.
I didn't have those type of mailbox.
Yeah, which is a great lesson because I think sometimes we don't want to impose on other people's lives. You know, like they probably just want to be alone or I don't want to intrude. Right. And Rose had kind of, she was like the bringer of the opposites.
I'm going to intrude.
Yeah. But you know, sometimes, I mean, I love that child, like not understanding boundaries and not understanding. It's a lot of times just what people need.
Yeah. She needed to be pushed. And I don't think a polite adult would have been what Eudora needed at that time. She needed little Rose to tell her what's up and tell her what she needed.
So Eudora never, like when we meet her as an 85-year-old woman, she's never been married. She doesn't have any children. And I love those little moments that she has with Rose where she thinks it would have been nice to have a granddaughter or this is how grandparents must feel.
Yeah.
It seems like maybe at the beginning she was a little more bitter about not having had that life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like she'd convinced herself she didn't want it because she was sad about it.
Yeah.
And then the more time she spent with Rose and the more she was able to build that relationship, she appreciated it.
Yeah. She didn't know what she was missing.
Yeah. What did this make you think in terms of like relationships with older people?
You know, I was really cool. Since my mom died when I was young, my grandma took care of us, my mom's mom.
Okay.
And he died right as I graduated college when I was 22, so in 2009. And I was super close to her. And, you know, it kind of made me miss her. You know, everything makes me miss her because I was so close to her. But, you know, it kind of made me realize that, like, I don't have any, like, old people friends.
Yeah. You know? You got to like, go to that.
I have, like, friends I like, you know, some retired teachers that I still talk to, but they're not, like, 85. They're, like, 58, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, like, I don't really know anybody that's very old.
So we have neighbors across the street from us who are husband and wife. They're married, but they never had kids. And so reading this book, I just kept thinking about them and thinking, like, it's so nice of me to send my kids over there. You know what I mean? Like, it made me want to, when opportunities arise and there's like older people who show like an interest or a desire to like connect with my kids in some way, I feel like this book made me more open to that because it helped me realize that there's importance, that adds meaning to them. There's so many books where the old person is grumpy, is just a total curmudgeon. And one of the things I love so much about this book is that the old people in it are so nice.
Yeah. And I feel like there's not that many books about old people either. So it was like a story.
And think, you know, maybe I better visit my widowed grandmother more. Because it does, it gives a perspective of what it's like to be an old person.
Yeah, like she was like at peace with things.
Which I think was really nice because I don't think a lot of people get an opportunity to like take a life's worth of regrets and process them in a way that puts them at peace. I think people take too many things to their grave.
Yeah, I think, you know, when meeting Stanley and Rose and doing those adventures together, and then definitely her relationship with Stanley kind of helped put things into perspective for her, since he had such a full life with a wife and children and grandchildren, which was such a contrast to Eudora.
Yeah.
In her life. I think that, you know, it put things into perspective for her and kind of, he was almost like therapy for her.
Yeah.
Such a good friend.
What about any of the other like overarching themes or what this book kind of left you with?
Do you want to know something? When I was reading, when I was kind of like preparing for this, I took some notes. Uh-huh. And my note that I took was, it's never too late to start living. And I was like, oh my God, that's so perfect. And I was telling my husband all about it, but that's what it says on the back of the book.
Oh.
And I was like, wow, that was like, I was like, I can't believe I came up with that. And then I was like, oh man, it's right here.
In the book. That's so fun. But it is. I mean, it's so perfect because that the book really does. At 85 years old, I mean, she really thought she was just like done. Like, what do I have left?
Right. It's never too late to start to make new friends, to build new relationships, to have new experiences. And, you know, to do as many things you can while you're able-bodied, you know?
Yeah.
She did all those fun things with Rose and Stanley and went to those parties. And it's just, I loved their adventures that they went on.
Yeah. And so many fun things that she wouldn't have ever done on her own. Mm-hmm. Like riding on a carousel horse. I just absolutely loved that part. I wish the author would have included the drawing that Rose did. Yeah. She would have like commissioned a 7-year-old to color a picture.
No, that would have been so cute.
It would have been so cute. But I did love that too. The idea that, you know, 85 years old, but she kept herself going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She really had like the mental wherewithal to be like, no, like when they were talking to her, like before she found out whether or not she could be approved for this physician assisted suicide, she had to prove, or she had to kind of, you know, let him know that it's not because she was depressed.
Right.
And I don't think she was depressed. I think she just thought she was done, but it was interesting that she was like, no, like these are the things that I do every day. I eat healthy. I do this. I'm still going out and exercising. I walk to the pool when the weather permits and I take care of myself in my own house. But then like she just got a whole new lease on life, an unexpected one.
Yeah.
With these fun neighbors. What about Stanley? What are your thoughts on Stanley? What did you think about him?
I just thought he was just the sweetest old man. And you know who I thought would be like such a good person to play him if this was a movie? I don't even know his name, but you know you've seen the movie Clueless, right? Uh-huh. You know that male teacher, the bald male teacher from
Clueless? Yes! Yes!
That's the perfect person to play Stanley.
Oh, yeah. He was just
a little old man.
Totally. Just like a sweet little sweetheart. Yeah. That was fun. He was a great character.
Yeah, I agree.
So before I let you go, do you have another book that you would like to recommend to our listeners?
Yes. I just finished my top read of 2020.
Yay!
And on Christmas Day,
yeah.
My top read of 2020 was the book Betty by Tiffany McDaniel. Have you read it?
I haven't.
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
Yay!
I got it through Book of the Month, and I heard so many wonderful reviews. And it's not been like that big on Bookstagram, but I was like, this sounds like it would be a great book for me. It's about a girl who, so Tiffany McDaniel writes this book about her mom, and her mom is Betty. And it's about a girl who's half Native American Cherokee and half white and growing up. And it's a coming of age story, and it has a lot of trigger warnings, I won't lie. But, you know, don't let that scare you away from reading this. It's just such a beautiful book. And the dad is just such an amazing storyteller. So I hope everyone checks it out.
Thanks again so much to Ashley for joining us today. It's always fun to get some great book recommendations. I definitely recommend that you check out The Brilliant Life of Eudora Honeysett by Annie Lyons, that you can pick up at any of your major retailers. If you liked listening in and you liked what you heard today, please remember to comment, like, subscribe, leave a rating. You can follow us and talk more about this book on our Facebook, our Instagram, or our Twitter pages. I hope you all have a great week reading, and we'll join you again next week when we highlight another lovely book.